Good morning, Elmira Church. Amazing. 3 years have gone by so quickly. And Lord willing, I will be here next week. But this being the week I give my last sermon here, I decided that I'll share with you my closing thoughts today. The Apostle Paul tells us, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Reprobates means rejects. In this case, people rejected of God, condemned in their sin. We don't want to be reprobates, friends. The prophet Haggai says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's Haggai 1:7. I want to apply the words of Paul, examine yourselves, and the words of Haggai, consider your ways, to having the traits of character that Jesus wants us to have. We'll turn to eight places together in the New Testament this morning. Let's turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We'll read verses 34 and 35. Jesus says in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We need to ask ourselves that, friends. Do we have love for one another? We can have a lot of good qualities, but the Apostle Paul tells us if we don't have love, we are nothing. And Jesus says that it's when we have love for one another that all men know that we are his disciples. Now I want to take us to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading Peter's letter, 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start with verse 5. Jesus says that Jesus commands us to have love for one another. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 5, the Apostle Peter says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Remember what temperance is. That's moderation of indulgence of appetite or desire. And to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Some people don't like to hear that word charity. Charity is a good word, friends. Charity comes from the our word charity comes from the Latin word caritas, which means love for all. And many of you might know the underlying Greek word translated as charity is agape, which means unconditional love. If you look up charity in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means the first definition given is love, having the disposition to think favorably of your fellow man and to do him good. And it's interesting, stay where you are in 2 Peter 1, for that to be the last part of Peter's letter, charity, love. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, speaks about spiritual gifts. And what is the most important thing that we have to have? In those chapters, 12, 13, 14, when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, what's the most important thing to have? Exactly, charity, love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Memorizing 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13. Memorizing that chapter was not my intention. In early 2005, I started reading that chapter once a day. Inspiration tells us if we read that chapter once a day, we will find comfort and strength. And one day I was in the dormitory. That was my first year of college. I was in the dormitory getting ready to do something. I started thinking on that chapter. And I found myself reciting the words. And I thought, do I have this memorized? So I tried reciting it, made a few mistakes, read it out of my Bible again. Recited it again, got it right. So friends, give that a shot. Try reading 1 Corinthians 13 once a day. Maybe you'll find yourselves memorizing it. But that's the last part of Peter's, that's the greatest of all things, charity, love. That's the ending of Peter's letter, into brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8 in 2 Peter chapter 1. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. I believe, Elmira Church, you are established in the present truth. You know the doctrines that apply to this time, the Sabbath, the sanctuary message, the state of the dead, the second coming, the 1,000 years, the lake of fire, the temporary lake of fire, the earth being made new. But we must always remember, with all the knowledge we have of those doctrines, we must also have love to go with it. We must have all the traits mentioned in Peter's letter. We must not forget these things. We must remember these things, even though we be established in the present truth. Let us turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. Right after 2 Corinthians, you have Galatians. Galatians, chapter 5. And we'll start with verse 19, Galatians 5:19. The Apostle Paul says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, that means visible, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that means lewdness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. Emulation, friends, refers to having the desire to equal or exceed somebody else. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Let me back up to seditions. Sedition refers to exciting rebellion or insurrection against lawful authority. Verse 21, envyings, that's jealousies, as we know, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Reveling is what we today call partying. Revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We have to remember, friends, how seriously God takes sin. It's not acceptable. Continuing verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, that's humility, temperance. Against such there is no law. Friends, the Apostle Paul, or actually the Apostle John, tells us that God dwells in us, how? By the Spirit he has given us. Let's continue reading. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Remember what John says are in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Apostle Paul is saying here, crucify those things. Verses 25 and 26, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we are not to have the desire to provoke one another or to be jealous of one another. Remember the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Let us now turn to Ephesians, the very next book. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start with verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 26. The Apostle Paul says, be angry and sin not. I know that to us is an unusual way of wording something. Be angry and sin not. We'll see as we keep going. Another translation says, don't sin in your anger. That's the thought. Be angry and sin not would be a word-for-word translation. We'll see as we keep going, we'll see what Paul means. What he means is to be angry without sinning. In other words, when anger comes to, don't sin. All right, starting again. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And he'll say later to put your anger away. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That means building up. Jesus says we are not to speak idle words. We are to speak which is going to edify others. To the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you remember, earlier in the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about receiving the Holy Spirit as an earnest, meaning down payment of the glory that awaits you, your heavenly inheritance. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Remember what malice means. That means having the desire to cause someone else pain or distress, the desire to harm them. We are to let anger and malice be put away. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The psalmist says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Psalm 37, verse 8. The wise man says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16:32. So we are to put the negative things away. We are to forgive, be kind one to another. Let us now back up to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul says here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That refers to men taking on feminine characteristics. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's actually all one word in Greek. Abusers of themselves of mankind. It's a Greek word meaning sodomites. Another translation reads, men who have sex with men. Abusers of themselves of mankind. Continuing, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. One thing to keep in mind, homosexuality is not a difficult question. God's word is clearly against it. Amen. It says in the book of Leviticus, thou shalt not lie with mankind as thou dost with womankind. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 speaks against women and men practicing relationships with people of the same gender. Amen. It is no difficult question. We do find people who consider themselves Christians and yet are homosexuals. One of my friends said, I'm dumbfounded. Some people are headed for the lake of fire and they don't even know it. But we have to have love even for those people. And I'm not saying to approve the lifestyle, but they have to know that lifestyle does not correspond with God. But I want to especially focus on verse 10, says, nor revilers. Revilers are people who speak to others in abusive language. We as church members are not to be revilers. As church members, we are not to be revilers. We are, again, to put away all anger, all malice. We are not to be jealous of one another. Do we have the traits of character, friends, that Jesus wants us to have? Let us turn to the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, starting with verse 1. It reads, the Apostle Paul says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous means dangerous. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. If you look up unholy in Webster's 1828 dictionary, It can mean unrighteous or wicked. I want to focus for a moment on the word blasphemers. As Seventh-day Adventists, we frequently point out that blasphemy in the Bible refers to claiming to be either claiming to be God, claiming to be the Son of God, either way, claiming to be divine, claiming to forgive sins. But blasphemy in the book of Revelation also refers to claiming to be something you are not. I believe it's in chapter 2 of Revelation, the Lord says, I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews and are not. Talking about those who claim to be spiritual Jews or Christians and are not. Friends, let us not be blasphemers. Amen. Let us be true Christians. True spiritual Jews, as the Apostle Paul puts it. Continuing, verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Friends, we want to be sure that we never accuse anyone falsely. That's what happened to our Lord. False accusers, incontinent, that refers to lacking self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We want to be careful, friends, despisers of those that are good. That can happen even in the church. Someone else comes along and is doing good. Some people might despise that person who is doing good. Continuing, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, they're not transformed by God's grace. From such, turn away. Amen. Friends, as a church, we have two major reasons why a person gets removed from membership. One is doctrinal apostasy, and the other is open sin. But friends, Paul here, the apostles, and the verses we've read are talking about the intangibles. And we also need to watch for those things. When we see those negative intangibles in people, we need to be on the lookout. Paul says, from such, turn away. So yes, we are to pray for people that they might change. At the same time, we have to pray that if some people, we have to pray for people that they might change, but we also have to pray that if people with those negative traits that Paul is talking about will not change, that the Lord will remove them. I believe that. Amen. From such, turn away. Let's read in the same chapter, verse 8. Speaking of the Egyptian magicians, Paul says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. In other words, they're rejected concerning the faith. All right, so let's turn to our last place in the Bible, the letter of Jude, just before Revelation. The letter of Jude. The Apostle Paul said, from such turn away. Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. The Apostle Jude says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We'll stop there for now. Stay where you are in Jude. So yes, we are to have compassion on others. We are not to be ready to just send others away. We are to have compassion. Friends, it's important again that we each examine ourselves. It's important that we each consider our ways. Do we have the traits of character that Jesus wants us to have, mentioned in Galatians 5? Do we have the love that Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 13? Do we have the traits of character mentioned in Peter's letter that we are supposed to have? Paul says to us, examine yourselves. Haggai says, consider your ways. Friends, may you, by the grace of God, be among those who do have the traits of character that Jesus wants us to have. May you have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom ministered to you. In closing, Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. 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 Let my soul bless God, the great King. I will extol my God, and my soul shall praise the King of heaven, and shall rejoice in his greatness. Let all men speak, and let all praise him for his righteousness. May God bless you as you continue your walk with him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we leave this house of worship today, that your Spirit will continue to comfort and teach us. And we thank you so much for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort and teach us. Thank you so much for sending your angels to protect us and minister to us. And we thank you so much for all the gifts and blessings you have bestowed on us. Many things that we would find it hard to live without. And we thank you so much and praise you most of all for giving us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that because of him, we can have the hope of eternal salvation. And we thank you for giving us your Holy Scriptures and revealing in them your plan of salvation for each one of us. All these things we pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.